This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Talenti Gelato and Sorbetto.
You might know it as that amazing gelato and sorbetto that comes in a clear pint with a twist-off lid.
I do know it. I have seen it in my grocer's freezer case. I've seen some of their awesome flavors and even tasted them, like sea salt caramel, Mediterranean mint, oatmeal raisin cookie, salted peanut caramel. I love that one. It has whole peanuts in it.
Yes. Yeah, my favorite is the salted caramel, I have to say.
Yeah, and they've got 33 enticing flavors.
Really? That many?
That is two more than some other ice cream purveyor you may know about.
I can't imagine who.
So to find Talenti at a store near you, go to talentigelato.com.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today's topic is picnics.
We are reporting, I was going to say reporting live, because that's, you know, what you're
that's
supposed
what
to
it
say.
Feels like.
We're whatever here at Volunteer Park in Seattle.
We are, yeah, literally in the shadow. Well, not literally in the shadow, because it's really sunny and we just had to put on our sunglasses. Mm-hmm. But we are near the Volunteer Park water tower, if you know where that is.
Yeah, perhaps you can hear an airplane overhead.
Perhaps you can hear some dogs, some very well-behaved dogs walking by.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're here because we've thought it would be crazy to do a picnic episode if we weren't on a picnic. I mean, it may be crazy.
Yeah, no,
to do
it would just seem disingenuous. I mean, I've had plenty of, like, indoor picnics.
Oh, I wanted to talk about indoor picnics.
But we had to have a legit picnic to make this a legit show.
So should we start with memory lane? Should we like crack open some stuff and start eating and drinking while we talk? What were the picnics of your youth like?
So I mostly think of picnics happening at the Oklahoma City Art Museum.
That is an amazing coincidence. That is where I think of picnics happening also. I've never been to Oklahoma City or its famous art museum, the Okla Center, but that's where picnics live.
Well, so when I was growing up, we lived in this house on Westchester Drive, which is kind of like right at the, like just outside the really fancy part of town.
Oh, sure. The fancy part of Oklahoma City is legendary.
Anyway, there was a place called the Buttram Mansion, spelled just like you think it was.
B-U-T-T-R-A-M?
Exactly.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. I just realized that was even funnier than I thought.
Yeah,
wait.
No, it's amazing. It's totally amazing. So anyway.
Do any children in Oklahoma City talk about anything other than the Buttram Mansion at any time?
Yeah, I didn't even realize how funny it was until I was older. Anyway, so the Buttram Mansion is where the Oklahoma City Art Museum was housed when I was a kid.
Sure.
And they used to have these, like, you know, live music things on the lawn. Because this was like, you know, a proper mansion with like the Versailles.
A proper mansion
with like the Versailles gardens out the back and the Three Graces looking into the reflecting pool and so on and so forth. Anyway, so we used to pack a picnic. My parents had like a dedicated picnic basket.
Oh.
With like dedicated picnic, plates and stuff.
Okay.
And a special thermos that we would put drinks in, and we would go listen to music, and I would climb trees and... stuff like that.
Now, I imagine you like sometimes peering into the closet and like lifting up one corner, one hatch of this picnic basket and just looking into it longingly. Did this happen?
It was really satisfying. It was the kind of picnic basket that had like, it had like two flaps that opened.
Oh, car.
You know, yeah. Like it wasn't like a single lid, like treasure chest.
No, it was a double flapper.
It was a double flapper, yeah. So let's talk about the picnics of your youth.
I don't really remember them very well. And I mean, probably, I don't think we can get any farther than this without me admitting that I hate picnics.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I didn't see this coming at all.
Really? Okay.
Are you hating this show so far?
No. I love doing this show. But it's the thing about picnics is, why do they have to be outdoors?
Do you? So Brandon likes to say that I'm like a less evolved person because my skin is so pale and like I'm legally blind and stuff. And like I wouldn't have survived in a prior era.
Did you say legally blind?
I am legally blind. Did you know that about me?
No, like without contacts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but so, you know, I grew up being kind of not into the outdoors because I always got sunburns and I hated putting on sunscreen and stuff. But as an adult, I've come to really like the outdoors and therefore I love picnics.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. So, I mean, the things... I don't know how to talk about why I don't like picnics without it turning into like a comedy routine from the 80s. But like, you know, there's bugs, especially like bees. Cause like, you know, you go to the picnic, like bees come out and you're like, I'm spending all of my time like wondering if I should swat this bee away or if it's going to sting me.
I know what you mean.
There's like, sometimes your butt gets wet cause the ground is wet and you didn't realize
it. Oh, but did your parents not have like special picnic seats? I mean, we had like seats that...
No.
You could fold up and carry.
We didn't live in the fancy part of Oklahoma City.
No, we lived just outside
the fancy
part.
We didn't live in the exploratorium, whatever. we didn't even live on the outskirts of the fancy part. So, no, we didn't have special picnic seats. We just had, like, a blanket that would immediately soak through if someone sat on it and the ground was wet.
I remember we had this kind of, like, cloth seat thing that was kind of like a sling for your butt. Sort of.
That sounds great.
It was amazing.
I would like to keep my butt in one of those at all times,
you
just
know,
for comfort.
Like you could, if you were an adult, which I wasn't at the time, you know, you could sit in this seat for a couple hours and listen to your smooth jazz and never get a wet butt.
Now that you are an adult, why aren't we doing that instead?
Oh, God, there's a bee on the table.
There's a bee buzzing around our not even open bag of Lay's potato chips.
Oh, no.
So, I have unfond picnic memories of getting...
There's a fly on your shirt.
Yeah, I don't care. You know, now, I'm grown up enough that I don't have to be terrified of bees, but I don't have to like it either.
Yeah.
And like, you know, first you're in the sun and you wish you were in the shade, and then you're in the shade and you wish you were in the sun, and the food is always kind of room temperature and weird. And thanks for joining me at this picnic.
What do you think of as picnic food? It's always weird.
Okay, I think of as picnic food like stuff that's been sitting around. So like an open bag of Lay's potato chips says picnic to me more than anything else. And of course, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay.
Like kind of mealy apples.
Yeah.
I think this is a pretty good apple, actually. Some kind of packaged cookies. I got Milano's today.
Okay.
Like sandwiches of the kind I really don't like, you know, cheese and lunch meat and mayo and mustard kind of sandwiches.
See, I think of evening picnics.
Ooh.
So I think of like...
Picnics after hours.
I think of like, you know, food that was, you know, like roasted chicken or something that's roasted and then cut up and put in like a Tupperware and you take it with you. And that's kind of nice, but God, it's so messy.
How about fried chicken?
That's cool, but like, who wants to eat room temperature fried chicken? Doesn't the skin just get kind of soggy? Like, why is that picnic food?
I don't know. I have less of a problem with that than with other room temperature things. I'm okay with room temperature fried chicken.
Like, how did macaroni salad and potato salad come to be picnic food when, like, you're not supposed to keep mayonnaise, like, in the sun for 2 hours?
So this is what I'm saying. Like, a picnic is a thing where you go outside, which is my second favorite place to be after inside, and you eat like some of my least favorite things, like egg salad and macaroni salad and potato salad and cold sandwiches and stuff.
That said, I have very fond memories of my dad's potato salad at picnics. Mm-hmm.
I have to say,
it was a mayonnaise based one.
I'm going to post this recipe. My wife, Lori, recently made this Japanese potato salad. I believe the recipe is from Shirley Karasawa's blog, which is called Lovely Lanvin. That's her name on Twitter. Anyway, we'll link to that. It's a Japanese potato salad.
Oh, she lives here in Seattle.
Yeah, she lives here in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was delicious. It has Kewpie mayo in it, the Japanese mayonnaise. It has, potatoes and cucumbers and a little carrot and spicy mustard.
Yeah, a little carrot. A little one.
Just a little. one of those baby carrots just kind of stuck in like a candle on a cupcake.
Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Salted. Learning to cook, it's difficult and expensive. Luckily, SaltedTV.com is here to fix that.
I think the best way to explain it is, it's like the Netflix of cooking.
Right. So you want to learn how to cook. You want to learn a new technique. Maybe you already know how to cook, but you want to learn how to braise. You go onto YouTube, there's like 17,000 videos. You have no idea which one is good. The quality is terrible. But if you go to saltedtv.com, you will get actual cooking videos from real chefs, like chefs you've heard of, people who've been on Top Chef. I watched a video with Gabe Rosen from Biwa in Portland, a chef I love, teaching me what to do with daikon radish. It was awesome.
And, this is all $9.99 a month. It's a flat rate, but you get unlimited cooking classes and step-by-step recipes. And it's all in HD video, Matthew.
It's so, like, you can smell the chefs.
You absolutely can. You can browse by ingredient, cuisine, even by your mood, I understand.
Yes, I want to cook something that will make me sad. Do they have that? No, they don't.
I'm feeling grouchy, and I need something that's going to cheer me up.
I want to make grumpy stew. If you have a normal feeling, then SaltedTV.com is here for you.
The possibilities are endless.
Are Molly and I going to make videos to teach you how to cook? No, we are not.
No.
And the reason why, we're so beautiful, you can't stand to look at us.
And do you know what? If you sign up today, Salted will give you your first 3 months of membership for free with the code MILK.
Yeah, we joke around a lot, but that is actually a pretty amazing deal.
That's a banging deal.
Like I said, I've been watching these videos. They are genuinely good. I learned something about daikon that I didn't know. If you want to learn about it, just go to saltedtv.com and use the code MILK for your first 3 months for free.
There's truly never been a better way of learning to cook.
I notice you brought something deliciously illegal.
Well, deliciously illegal. Here, we'll put it down on this lower level of the picnic table. So anyway, no, I think of picnics as being a place to drink stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I think that you should always have something alcoholic on a picnic. Assuming you're over 21, obviously.
Oh, I think in my family, we brought a lot of alcoholics along on picnics. Not really. Sorry.
Oh. Anyway, so I brought today some Lambrusco from Delancey.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Delancey. It was opened last night.
Cheers.
Anyway, it's very convenient being able to go take half bottles of already open stuff out of your own restaurant.
Is that a privilege we can extend to all of our listeners?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
steal it from yourself.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So, have you ever had any, true disaster picnics?
No, not that I can think of. You would think, given what a sad, bitter man I am on the whole subject, that there would be some story from my past. But no, I don't think so.
What about, like great picnics, like happy ending picnics?
you mean like someone came by and finished me off at the end of the picnic? Let's say that happened.
You made it sound like you were
murdered.
No, you were like a mostly eaten container of potato salad, and they came along and just finished you off.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Let's say that for the kids listening.
I was just wondering. I think the worst picnic I've ever had was when I was 18, and so one of my cousins spent some of her junior year of college
in France.
In France.
What do I win?
In Aix-en-Provence. Anyway, and when my cousin Katie and
listeners, what do you think Molly just said? Okay.
So when I was 18, my cousin Katie and I did one of those backpacking around Europe, your rail pass things.
Awesome.
And we went to go visit her older sister's host family in Aix-en-Provence. And because they wanted to show us all around, they put us in the car and drove us to this place called the Camargue, which is sort of this beach.
Where the Fleur de Sel comes from.
Yes. Anyway, they drove us there and we had a picnic on an extremely windy day on the beach.
Uh-huh.
There's a picture of me and Katie, like, just being completely, like, pummeled by wind.
Did the wind blow the salt off of the fleur de sel onto your skin?
No. The wind did... Wow, do you hear this bird? Nature, Matthew.
I don't know if we picked that up or not. Nature at its finest. So.
Anyway, there was so much sand blowing across the beach, and Sarah's host mother had packed hard-boiled eggs and some sort of, like, salad in a Tupperware, and both were, like, filled with sand within seconds of taking the lid off the container. Anyway, it was... I mean, if you've ever eaten a hard-boiled egg with sand on it, well, if you haven't eaten a hard-boiled egg with sand on it, don't.
Can we post a recipe for that?
Yeah. So fly to France and go find this family in Aix-en-Provence. Get them to drive you to the Camargue. And I think there's some flamingos down at the Camargue.
The way you were looking up, I thought you were going to say, I think there's some flamingos behind you. Nope.
Nope. Okay. Anyway, should we start eating?
Yes, please. Okay. So I brought my favorite thing to bring on a picnic. So
and I find this to be a hilarious favorite thing to have.
Here's how I rebel against picnics.
Do you have a knife?
No. That's the other thing. You can forget stuff when you go on a picnic. Like, all the stuff you need to eat food is at your house. Like, why do you need to, like, try and remember to bring all of that stuff?
That's true. That's true. Especially the way your house is set up, where, like, the silverware drawer is also, like, arm's reach
from the
table. It's amazing.
Yes. I'm working on a system whereby everything will be arm's reach from the table, so I never have to leave.
I think that system is called the internet.
Yeah, okay. So I like to make something hot and bring it along on the picnic and hope that it sort of stays hot.
Yeah,
so
where did you get this idea, Matthew?
I don't know.
Oh, but I like it.
So I made some calzones or calzonis. I never know which to say.
I think calzones. So wait, I mean, when you emailed me and said, I'm going to make calzones, my favorite thing to bring on a picnic, I was like, how does a person arrive at this conclusion?
Well, here's what I think happened. I like to make calzones at home.
and I mean, on a picnic, you can do everything you can do at home, only without some of the
stuff. That's right. I brought my oven along. And I think probably what happened is one time it was a nice day, and my family, which does like picnics, I mean, the other members of my family, said, why don't we wrap these up and take them to the park and eat calzones and play Frisbee, which sounded pretty nice even to me. And we did, and it was great. And so we've done that many times since. And so that's why it's my favorite picnic food.
Oh, man, that's so sweet. That is so sweet.
So this is a sausage and broccoli and mozzarella and Parmigiano calzone.
Oh, it's delicious. Hey, you know what? We've gotten this far without defining picnics, according to Wikipedia. And Matthew looked up the definition on Wikipedia, and it is so good that we need to read it verbatim for you today, listeners.
It's amazing. I don't know how many citizens of the internet work together on this definition, but
I feel like we
should be checking off, like, how well we're fulfilling this ideal image of a picnic.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
All right.
A picnic is an excursion at which a meal is eaten outdoors, al fresco or en plein air. Ideally, taking place in a beautiful landscape, such as a park.
Check. Okay,
or beside a lake or with an interesting view.
Check.
And possibly at a public event, such as before an open-air theater performance, and usually in summer. Okay, it's practically summer. It's early June. I understand that you've prepared a monologue.
Yeah, I'm going
that you're
to
do
be,
after the picnic.
You know what? I had to memorize a poem in French for Mother's Day when I was in third grade, and I still know it.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Nope.
I had to memorize a soliloquy from Macbeth.
So what's the difference between al fresco and en plein air?
I thought you were going to ask me the difference between a monologue and a soliloquy, and I have no idea. Al fresco means taking place in Italy. En plein air means taking place in the Camargue. Wow, with sand all up in your business.
Okay, let's talk about the most famous depiction of a picnic in the art world.
Okay, and I would say, like, all right, if I say, like, picnic painting, you're probably envisioning this. It's le déjeuner sur l'herbe. Did I say that correctly?
Oh, beautifully.
By Manet, 1862. It depicts the juxtaposition of a female nude and a scantily dressed female bather on a picnic with two fully dressed men in a rural setting. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that
on... That is Matthew's kind of picnic.
Right. That on this, you said you're going to ask, what's my ultimate picnic scenario? I think we already know. So what's your ultimate picnic scenario? Like, if you had to choose, like, who to picnic with, where, like...
Can it be someone living or dead?
Yes.
And does it have to be somebody I know? Oh, maybe I should do like one person I know and then like a famous person.
Sure.
I forgot to think about this ahead of time. Can I have just a minute to think about it?
Yeah, this is tricky because you don't want to just think of like your favorite celebrity or like, you know, the best looking celebrity. You got to think like who's going to be fun on a picnic. Do you like how I'm saying that as if that made any sense at all?
Yeah, because some people just are not fun on a picnic, like Matthew.
Right. No, like no one is going to choose me because I'm not a celebrity and I would be a terrible picnic companion because I'd be complaining all the time.
Okay. So my ideal picnic would be on an ordinary day when like I should be working and I'm playing hooky.
Nice.
Okay. That's like classic picnic moment. Like the weather's nice. Your friend calls you and you're like, screw normal life. I'm going to go have a picnic in the park and drink wine illegally.
That sounds great.
So it would be with like my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
is your kid invited?
I got to be honest.
Oh.
Maybe when she's older, but not right now because it's real. It's, you know, like having a picnic with an almost 3-year-old. Let's be real, people. It's not a relaxing endeavor. It's a cute endeavor.
Yeah. I'd rather have bees.
Not relaxing. Anyway, so it should be in a sunny patch of grass, on a sunny patch of grass, close to some shade, so I can retreat to the shade.
Okay.
And it would just be with a bunch of friends, like, you know, just close friends, like easy friends. And then if I had to have a famous person on a picnic with me, you know who I think I would choose? I think I would choose to have a picnic with Michael Chabon, the author. I think that he'd be funny. I think he'd be fun. I think he'd totally be down for playing hooky and drinking in the park.
I think you're absolutely right. I
also think he's very handsome while also looking a little bit like my father's side of the family. Like, anyway, yeah. Yeah, I'd be down with that.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Okay. Mine's going to be similar. So I like the playing hooky idea. I think when you said evening picnic, that was really appealing. I want to have my picnic like... I know, maybe starting at like 5 p.m. If it's at the beach, does that count as a picnic?
Is it before a performance en plein air?
It certainly is.
Is there smooth jazz?
No, that's the only thing worse than egg salad. smooth jazz is the egg salad of music. So I'm thinking the beach because I mean. There's like a lot of overlap between a picnic and a barbecue, don't you think? Because like I feel like I'm pro barbecue.
Well, so like at Golden Gardens, you know, you can rent one of the little barbecue shelter things.
But
yeah,
we'll
that's
say
a,
like
that's
to,
a picnic,
no, but,
yeah.
But, you know, to keep it pure, like it's not a barbecue, so it'll be a picnic. We'll have some of my favorite picnic foods like charcuterie. Got no problem with that.
Oh yeah,
chips, calzones,
Sandy hard boiled egg.
It'll be with my wife and daughter, and our celebrity guest will be The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. After dinner, we're gonna play frisbee because that's my favorite thing to do, like in an outdoor setting.
Oh, and you're gonna have The Rock on your team,
right? I don't even care if there's gonna be teams. I just want to tell people, hey, you know what I did last night? I was just playing frisbee with The Rock. Seems like that would be great.
That's cool.
I mean, I think it would be fun to do, and then it would be even more fun to tell people that I did it.
That's cool.
And I would be in
That's how I feel about a lot of things.
Right. I would be in the shade because I like the shade, and then like I would occasionally retreat into the sun.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of sweaty right now.
Okay, so other things we've got at our picnic, we've got some prunes, as heard on the prune episode. We've got some Milanos, as heard on some cookie episode. I brought an apple. What other things do you like to see at a picnic?
So I definitely like charcuterie. I like cheese. Personally, I like very low maintenance foods. I would be very surprised if in my lifetime you catch me roasting a chicken, cutting it up, and taking it on a picnic. I feel like I want really low maintenance food. I might cook some sort of vegetable, but it would be like I would blanch green beans and toss them with a vinaigrette.
Is this the basis for like a new reality show, like How to Catch a Contractor? Is that what that's called? We're trying to catch you roasting a chicken.
Yeah, you're not going to catch me doing that. I mean, I may do it, but you are not going to catch
accepted.
Me.
Challenge accepted.
Anyway, so I think like cured meats, everybody should have like a small cutting board that you can take on a picnic.
some kind of foliage fell into my wine.
At least it's not previously flying.
Digested foliage, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so some kind of charcuterie, cheese, maybe a vegetable prepared simply, maybe like even just carrots with like a jar of vinaigrette.
Would they be salted, kind of sweaty carrots?
No.
Okay.
No. And there definitely needs to be dessert. I think brownies and some fruit.
Brownies
and fruit are kind of the ultimate picnic food. But there has to be booze. There has to be booze. And it needs to be a cold beverage. Like, it needs to be either, like, if you're super classy, like a cocktail that you make and put all like chilled in a thermos.
Right.
Whoa. Nice. Or some like rosé, beer, champagne.
Can I talk about Japanese picnics?
Apparently, I really have lots of ideas about picnics.
Yeah, but most of them are just like get drunk.
Yeah, pretty much. Go on.
with Michael Chabon.
Yes.
Okay, so
Do you remember the picture of him that's on the cover of The Mysteries of Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Oh, I know we've talked about that before.
We'll post a picture, listeners, of that photo of Michael Chabon.
I just love it.
That you can enjoy in any way you like. So in Japan, like during cherry blossom season, and late April, early May, people will go out into the park and set up blue tarps. I don't know why they're always blue, plastic tarps. And you go like with your office or your friends, and you basically spend hours in the park looking at cherry blossoms and drinking tons of beer and sake and eating rice balls. And other little treats. It's great. I've never actually done it. Well, I've done it at UW. People do it at University of Washington in Seattle, but without the booze, which kind of takes a lot away from it, I think.
So here's a question. So they use tarps. I think this is a brilliant... you have a twig hanging out of your mouth.
Yes.
So they use tarps. I think this is a great idea for keeping the old bottom dry.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that with my child.
You're
going to
just wrap her in a tarp?
I'm just going to wrap her in a tarp. Anyway, but do they put a blanket on top of the tarp, like for comfort's sake?
No. I need to do some more investigation on this, because like I said, I know this is a thing that is done, and like if you go to one of the big parks in Tokyo in the spring, like every inch of grass will be concealed by tarps and happy people drinking, but I have never actually done it, so I'm going to make that, I'm going to put it on the old bucket list.
Great. Oh my gosh, wait a minute. Let's talk about everybody's favorite picnic topic, which is all the stuff that you can buy to make your picnic easier and more glamorous.
Particularly the picnic backpack, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you used to work at Sur La Table,
yes.
And you used to sell this thing.
Oh, it was super popular, along with raclette sets.
This fascinates me.
I mean, but if you think about it, based on the thing we said earlier, it kind of makes sense, because the point of the picnic backpack is now you won't forget to bring stuff for the picnic. Like, you know, you asked me if I brought a knife. I did not. But if I had a picnic backpack, it would have a knife in it.
Yeah, but like I would argue that part of the charm is the old make-do-ness of a picnic. Yeah, you know, like... So I went on a picnic with some new friends last summer.
I see.
And the man of the couple totally impressed me by managing to open a bottle of rosé, even though he had no wine bottle
opener
with him.
Did he saber it?
No, he didn't saber. Matthew, you looked so excited. Like, can I meet this guy? Whoa.
Wait. I want to guess. Can I have like three more guesses of how he did it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. He used... an empty clam shell as an impromptu. I'm thinking of like a bottle cap. He used his penis somehow. I give up.
No, what he did was he took his shoe. He put the bottle of rosé kind of in his shoe.
Sure.
To kind of cushion it. And then he banged the shoe and the bottle of rosé.
Like Khrushchev.
Against a rock so that he could like... Like the flat bottom of the bottle was banging against the rock through.
He prefers to be called Dwayne Johnson.
I'm not describing this very well.
No.
But anyway, it forced the cork out.
Should we
the
have
other
people
end.
Draw a picture?
Yeah.
It forced. Oh, wow. Okay, this is. Was this guy's last name MacGyver by any chance?
No.
Okay, so anyway, so the picnic backpack. Don't be more like that guy, less like the picnic backpack guy.
I mean,
is our point,
so
I guess.
The picnic backpack costs like $100.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And it's got like a special blanket, silverware.
It holds your wine glasses safely.
It holds your wine glasses safely. It's got pretty much everything
corkscrew,
you need except the food. But I don't know. Here's my thing. Like, I want somebody who, like, manages to pull it together on their own. Is that too much to ask for?
So not me.
No, but I mean, like, I appreciate the fact that you don't have, like, this...
It's like...
It seems a
little... There's no spontaneity to it.
Yeah.
There's no DIY ethic. There's no MacGyverism. to the picnic backpack. I agree.
I like a little MacGyver in my man.
I like how we're taking a stand against something that nobody has been interested in since the 90s.
But, you know,
I'm not talking about MacGyver. Everyone's interested in that. I'm talking about the picnic backpack.
So, you know, when you sent me a link to the picnic backpack,
yes,
you mentioned that I should be sure to note this product called Wine Sticks.
Oh, right.
STIX.
Yes.
That was also recommended on the same Amazon page as this picnic.
Yes. We'll link to that too.
So the Wine Sticks are basically like, it's like a metal skewer type thing that you drive into the ground, and it's got a specially designed loop on the top that holds your wine glass.
Mm-hmm.
So and that I think if you're sitting on like uneven ground, your glass has this nice place to rest in midair.
Yes, and I think there's like one stick for that holds the wine bottle also, so it doesn't fall over.
I just feel like, I mean, I don't.
Here's how I could see this working. I see what you're saying, and I agree that it's kind of too much. But picture this: what if you arrive at the picnic, and there are like it's a meadow, and there are like dozens of wine sticks stuck into it, and all with full glasses, and you can just like as you wander by, just pluck a glass off any stick and just start drinking. And I'm not sure where you put it when you're done. I think you just throw the glass on the ground.
At my cousin Jason's wedding, I pretty much did that with the wedding cake. Once everybody was up and dancing at the reception, and people had kind of abandoned their pieces of cake at their tables, I just went around and ate random pieces of cake off of people's tables.
Oh, so you're a bag lady. Okay.
I was like 20 years old.
Oh, okay. And that you were only a kid.
Like, I was like 20 and I had like two Cosmos. This was 1998 and I was wasted.
I can visualize this
and
so vividly.
I ate a whole bunch of wedding cake, other people's wedding cake.
Uh-huh. Oh, OPWC, like the song.
Are you down with that?
I am totally down with that. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was picking on you for that childhood indiscretion, but it actually sounds amazing.
No, but anyway, Wine Sticks. I just feel like, you know, I'd probably be really grateful if somebody else brought the Wine Sticks.
Okay.
And like they dealt with it. But I just feel like there's something that seems so premeditated about it when really I want picnics to at least seem very spontaneous, even if they aren't.
Someone to like just pull out a picnic blanket and kind of fling it open, and just suddenly there is this lavish spread
with a female nude, and a scantily dressed female bather.
That's what you're saying you want.
That's
right?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
great. I want.
And don't forget to go to saltedtv.com and use the code MILK to get 3 months free of awesome cooking videos from actual chefs teaching you to up your game in the kitchen.
Unlimited cooking classes, step-by-step recipes, gorgeous video. Oh my God, wait, I didn't notice this. A VIP chef hotline to answer your questions?
Yeah, like why is this rutabaga doing this weird thing?
Why does this rutabaga have these, like, hair things on it?
Yeah. Oh, those are weird, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to hit up the VIP hotline. Let's see if they can answer that.
Let's do.
After the first 3 months, it's only $9.99 a month for unlimited access to all of the great cooking videos from all of these great chefs. Go to saltedtv.com/milk and use the code MILK.
Woohoo!
So that was our picnic episode. I want to get out of the sun now. You can find us online at spilledmilkpodcast.com, where we will post links to wine sticks and a picnic backpack. Yeah, if you buy a picnic backpack through our link, we'll get a little kickback for that. So definitely, we're in favor of the picnic backpack now.
My dog, I forgot to mention that we brought my dog along on the picnic, and my dog is dutifully laying at Matthew's feet.
It's delightful. My feet are very warm.
Great.
You
along
can find
with
us
the
on
rest of you.
Facebook, at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast.
Maybe Matthew will post a calzone recipe.
Oh yeah, I'll post a calzone recipe.
Or like a link to it or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You can leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah, it's really helpful if you do that. It helps people find us.
Yes. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. We'll bring the wine sticks, you bring the rock.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
Are you recording this?
Oh, of course.
Great.
At Founders Brewing Company, we set out to create a beer that lets you embrace the unconventional. Mortal Bloom is a radiantly beautiful, hazy IPA that will wrap your taste buds with intense citrus and tropical notes of pineapple and mango. Coming in at 6.2% ABV with big aromatics and no bitterness, it's the perfect beer, if we do say so ourselves. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find Mortal Bloom Hazy IPA.